Good afternoon. It is 1:44 on Tuesday, the 1st of April. We're here in Juneau House Finance Committee. Every member is present. I'll list them for fun. Representative Allard, Representative Hannon, Representative Johnson, Representative Bynum, Representative Stapp, Representative Tomaszewski, Representative Galvin, Representative Jimmy, Co-Chair Foster, Co-Chair Shragi, and myself, Co-Chair Josephson. Also present today are House Finance Committee staff, Committee Assistant Helen Phillips, Paige Reed, Gardiner, Secretary Bree Wiley, Secretary Leah Frazier. Before we start, please mute your cell phones. At this meeting, we will continue to take up amendments on HB 53 and HB 55, the operating and mental health budgets. When we adjourned the previous meeting, we were on Amendment 80, and I'm going to not offer that amendment at this time. So that takes us to Amendment 81. Representative Bynum.
I will not be offering 81 at this time.
Okay. 81 not offered at this time. Takes us to Amendment 82. Representative Bynum.
Mr. Co-Chair Justin, I move Amendment 82.
And I'll object for purposes of discussion. Representative Bynum, at your leisure.
Thank you, sir. So, you know, obviously when we are talking about, give me one moment here. I'm going to get my notes here, if that's okay. So, Amendment 82, this is a reduces...
I apologize. Brief at ease. On record, House Finance, 1st of April, 1:47 p.m., Representative Bynum on Amendment 82.
Thank you, Co-Chair Josephson. So Amendment 82 is talking about funding for overtime. And as we've been looking through our budget, we've talked a lot about ensuring that departments are providing clear and accurate representations about what their needs are. This particular item is asking to reduce the overtime from 300 to 150. This increment is excessive in the sense that for this current fiscal situation that we're in, I completely and unequivocally support our law enforcement officers, but the 300 additional hours is the equivalence of 2 months. Work and 75 hours a week. It is more than what the department currently needs from my perspective. This is all while we're paying overtime for unfilled vacancies, fully expecting that the department will be able to function properly without this particular funding in this amount. So ultimately, the reason why I brought this forward is because we've talked a lot about savings within the state, the amount of money that we're spending, and requiring the departments clearly define to us their absolute needs and how they're spending their money. And I feel like after going through the subcommittee process and having hearings here at the table, that I don't have a clear vision about what departments are actually doing. We know that there's shortfalls. There's absolute shortfalls in their personnel. They're trying to do recruitment and retention, and that they do have overtime needs, but there is also a lot of opportunity happening where they are shifting cost away from cost lines for this purpose. And so my request to the department is to be very clear about what their actual needs are, where they need those needs, and if they're having specific shortfalls in personnel, that they do more at communicating to the legislature their specific needs and not just rolling big dollar amounts into overtime and then moving those dollars to pay for overtime without clearly telling us. That's why I brought this amendment forward, so that we could have that discussion here at the finance table.
Representative Stamp.
Yeah, thank you, Co-Chair Joseph. So for one, I'd like to say I really do appreciate Commissioner Cockrell and the Department of Public Safety for actually illustrating kind of what their budgeted overtime hours are. I think the first thing we should probably do is appreciate them for actually giving us some sort of number so we have some sort of understanding. My hope is the rest of the departments will start to kind of follow suit, because if we don't know the budgeted overtime hour number, it's really challenging for us to do what Representative Bynum is doing right now, which is asking the question, well, is 300 hours appropriate or is 150 hours appropriate? To me, 300 overtime hours, when you put that in the scope of a year, that doesn't actually seem like that big of an issue, especially given the fact that, troop public safety officers kind of have to be have it overtime, right? I mean, unfortunately, criminals just don't work from 9 to 5, right? They tend to work outside those normal payroll hours. So I really appreciate the member, Representative Bynum, for bringing this forward. Appreciate the department for actually budgeting out so we can see it. But kind of my instincts here, without hearing from the department, is 300, though it may seem like a lot, probably isn't that much for a trooper in an entire year. So.
Representative Hannon, then Johnson.
Thank you, Co-Chair Josephson. I had a couple of questions similar to Representative Stapp. I did not serve on the Public Safety Subcommittee, but kind of remember hearing that department did present numbers based on their average overtime. And so, if we've asked you to reveal it and then you give us your real number and then we say, well, no, not. That's not. We're not going to give it to you, but because that's just the narrative I heard in the building, I guess I'm hoping that Ledge Finance might be able to answer that they had information that said the average trooper was 300 hours, 290, and if they're averaging that, I can't envision how we continue with trooper capacity by slashing it in half. Additionally, for the maker of the amendment, he uses the term under the initial title, reduce additional overtime. And so I wanted to, not sure if it's just the teacher in me, if it's the semantical thing, but if we are giving each trooper 300 hours of overtime allocated to each PCN, and this was on top of that, then I'm okay with the cut. But if this is 300 and now we're having it when on average they need 300 hours of overtime per PCN, but I just didn't know where the additional phrasing in that came from. So I'm hoping that Ledge Finance could tell us what was the average overtime spend per PCN at DPS.
Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So just to add a little bit to it, historically, I remember under our previous governor, we just had a tremendous downturn in oil prices, and we cut a lot of positions out of public safety. There's been an attempt over the last few years statewide, to continue to bring that up to get a trooper presence throughout the state and to do, to be there as needed. And so I guess I can't give specifics on this, but I would say that our expansion has a lot to do with making sure that we are trying to get our troopers up to not just from where they were, but to a reasonable services. But obviously, we don't always have had a hard time recruiting as many people as we needed. So there's that overtime component.
Representative Bynum, do you?
I'll wait for wrap up. Sorry, if there's any other questions.
Yes, Representative Jimmy.
Thank you. I cannot support this amendment because our state troopers do work in dangerous conditions, put themselves at risk, and not being able to provide public safety for the people of Alaska is not a good statement, I would say. And overtime pay helps make sure that they are ready to respond at short notice.
Thank you, Co-Chair Josephson. At the end of the day, when we talk about these, they're already spending dollars on overtime, and nowhere are we seeing that there's a decrement for the resources that they have in other places that they're not utilizing. We've heard, as an example, of they've come to the body here and they've said that they have desperate needs in other parts of the state for wanting to create additional positions to meet their mission, but they haven't talked about how they're prioritizing their time and their resources to make that a priority, even though they said it is a top priority. And so this is just to highlight the point that there is no other decrement in their budget where they're paying these overtime, and they're also not using those other budget items for this purpose. And so I wanted to just highlight that I understand if the troopers need the additional overtime and they're going to be using that. They will pay their overtime. But I also want to make sure that they are wisely allocating all of their resources statewide to meet the needs statewide and that they are reflecting that in their budget. And so I just wanted to highlight that I do appreciate what they're doing, and I do appreciate that they did put an increment in their budget for the overtime purpose, as the member from Fairbanks had said, and we would love to see all the other departments making those same types of allocations if they're going to be doing overtime purposes. But I do want to make sure that the departments are prioritizing where they're putting their troopers or where they want to have their troopers, and then wisely using these overtime hours. This isn't just a blanket go out and spend as much as you can on overtime, especially when we're under these very pressured financial situations. So with that, I will be withdrawing Amendment 82.
All right. Brief at ease. We're back on record. House Finance, 1st of April, 1:57 p.m. Representative Bynum, you are the author of what is called Amendment 83. What is your intent?
I will not be offering Amendment 83 at this time.
Next is Amendment 84. Representative Bynum.
I will not be offering Amendment 84 at this time.
All right. I will move Amendment 85.
Jack.
Well, I think most people know what this amendment is. I'm going to say that I prepared this amendment and I'm offering this amendment because of what I sense is the collective will of legislators writ large. I have been a protector of the capital city. I think I brag about my capital city constantly because it's such a great town and we are served so well here. It occurs to me that there are Alaska Permanent Fund Corporation workers who've settled into my hometown of Anchorage, probably bought homes, etc. But there is an offense that has been felt by their refusing to follow our at least intent, and I'm trying to remember if it was more, to not build out an office in Anchorage. We didn't authorize it. It's a kind of sort of mission creep. They would no doubt respond and say, well, Anchorage is more attractive to some people because it has more amenities or whatever the case may be. This is really offered in defense of our prerogative and what I hear from a majority of legislators. Am I personally losing sleep over this? Not particularly, but I have it here for us to discuss. Yes, Co-Chair Foster.
Thank you, Co-Chair Josephson. I support the intent of this amendment. I do have a question. I believe last year when the same effort was made, there was a structure change to the budget so that you had a Juneau or an Anchorage office breakout. Does this amendment accomplish the structure change that's needed to effectuate the goal of encouraging the permanent fund to keep their office in Juneau?
I think it does in that committee may wonder, why are we giving them, I think it's $100, and I think that I learned that you can't appropriate $0, and that's where that comes from, and that tells me that the amendment is meant to be very serious and a structure amendment. Mr. Painter, could you come forward and help us?
Thank you. For the record, Alexi Painter, Legislative Finance Division, through the Chair, Representative Foster. So the subcommittee denied the governor's structure change to rename the existing appropriation from Alaska Permanent Fund Corporation Juneau office to just Alaska Permanent Fund Corporation. So in the current bill, their appropriation is labeled Juneau office, so this adds another appropriation for the Anchorage office, so that together those things would accomplish that full structure change.
Thank you. Yeah. Other questions about APFC? Representative Johnson, pardon me.
Thank you. I don't have any questions.
Okay.
I just had a comment.
Representative Stapp.
I have a couple of things, Mr. Co-Chair. I would say that can you remind me, and then if you be so kind to give me a second bite here, we did this last year, and they did it anyways, I believe. And then if we do it again this year, what is going to stop them from just doing it anyways?
I think that's a fantastic question. Mr. Painter, I know that we have concerns with wearing out the carpet over there, but we still like your response.
For the record, again, Alexa Painter, Legislative Finance Division, through the Chair, Representative Stapp. Last year, the governor vetoed the appropriation for the Anchorage office, and so there was no appropriation for that, and the board retained the Anchorage office, despite it being funded from an appropriation labeled Juneau office. I suppose there's nothing stopping that from happening again other than potential litigation to prevent that, but absent that, they could do the same thing.
So to be clear, Mr. Painter, can we intuit that the governor would support this amendment? Is that why he struck the other amendment? Oh, he struck the amendment, leaving it in the discretion of APFC to do as they wish, seemingly.
Mr. Chairman, okay. I suppose he vetoed the $100 last year for the Juneau or the Anchorage office.
Got it. Co-Chair Foster. Sorry. My apologies. We'll go Stapp, Foster, Johnson, Hannon.
Well, with your permission, Mr. Co-Chair, I think we should probably try maybe a different strategy to get this message across. So I would actually propose that I be allowed to offer a conceptual amendment. And that conceptual amendment will strike the word decommission and then add the word commission offices, plural, from the title. And it looks to have the Alaska Permanent Fund Corporation open a Fairbanks office, a Nome office, an office in Tuxuk Bay, and an office in Ketchikan.
And Palmer.
Oh, and Palmer. My apologies.
Eagle River.
Can
Okay. I'm going to object for...
Yes. I would like this debate on the conceptual amendment to be very, very short. I mean, it's pretty clear, right? So does anybody, they've just got to test to speak to this. Representative Johnson.
Well, thank you. I'll speak to this as I'm speaking to the whole amendment. I think this amendment actually really highlights some of the discussion that we had about why should the legislature why is the legislature involved with the permanent funds offices? And, you know, that's one debate. But the point is that we didn't give them permission to open the office in Anchorage in the first place. They talked about putting offices in multiple locations throughout the country, but it's throughout the world. And so this idea that if you have one, you can do more, and I guess two pieces to it. One is if you can ignore the legislature, which I think, you know, there's how do you keep the legislature, how do you keep the administration from ignoring anything we do? That's number one. But the next piece is, we need to have some kind of control over what happens with the permanent fund. And there is a sense of we have one power, and that's our power of appropriation. If it's ignored, it's ignored. So I could vote for a – I'm sure Palmer has lots to offer. Might actually attract some people that, you know, you couldn't get to work for a permanent fund corporation otherwise. And so I'm sure each of us could speak to our community in that same way. I will leave it open for more debate.
All right. Can we go to closing on the conceptual amendment?
Yeah, absolutely, Mr. Co-Chair. I think the point I made is pretty well taken, and I'll probably just go ahead and withdraw the conceptual amendment.
Okay. So we have the tool.
I will withdraw the conceptual amendment.
I need a brief at ease.
Brief at ease. We're back on the record in House Finance at 2:07 p.m. April 1st. I want to say for the record that this amendment I've offered, Amendment 85, is paired or is accompanied or vice versa by Amendment 2, which was a structure change and intent language. So we have Amendment 85 as originally written. I have in the queue Representative Hannon, then Co-Chair Foster.
Thank you, Co-Chair Josephson. I think it's important just to refresh that it's more than a one-year struggle, that the Perm Fund Corporation Board opened an office they had enough money, they opened it. Then the next year, they came to the legislature and say, please give us the money to open the office. And by the way, it'll cost us nothing because one of the commissioners on the board at the time said, we'll give them free space. Then they asked for money to open it, and the legislature said, you've already opened it. You need to ask us ahead of time. We can have this discussion. And if you've got excess money to do that, why are you asking for other things where you had money to open something, yet you were still asking us for increments on other things? So I could talk about it about being territorial, but really this is the power of legislative appropriation. And even though we don't have a very big hammer, they are asking for some things from us, And if they're still not willing to have a conversation that is truthful about how they're budgeting, where they're spending their money, what their overhead costs are, and then they end up with enough money to set up an office without having met their request for increments, it's a bait and switch. And, you know, I think we're doing it with a couple other agencies. Well, maybe you didn't understand our intent. We're real serious about have the conversation about what it's going to cost to operate it. Because first it was nothing. We can do it with nothing. And then it was, we've opened it, and now we need you to pay for it. It's about our power of appropriation, and I will be supporting the amendment.
Co-Chair Foster, then Rep. Allard.
Pass.
Rep. Allard.
Yeah, thank you. And I recall having a conversation asking for the job description for the new hire they wanted to hire for $392,000. And if the position was so important, I would have thought they would have given me that job description so I could validate their reasoning behind it, in which they didn't. And they do come back asking for all sorts of money each time, and frankly, we're just disregarded. So I want to offer a conceptual amendment.
What is your conceptual amendment?
So I want to cut $392,000 for that job description in which they had offered, or that they had asked for those funds.
Thank you. There's an objection. Any discussion about her amendment?
I do. I have a little bit. I would like to say that if I remember right, they started by saying that it could be in Juneau and it could be in Anchorage, but then when they really got down to it, it was probably going to be in Anchorage, so it's not really a far stretch to say if we're not going to have an Anchorage office, maybe we shouldn't have an Anchorage employee. But with that in mind, I won't say that I'm certain on whether I will support the amendment.
Representative Galvin.
Thank you. On this particular amendment to the amendment, I'm going to vote against it because, first of all, they're our bread and butter. They're making our money for us. And I understand the concerns around not the move and there not being permission for the move. But I respect that these jobs, they're bringing in people who know how to invest money, and it's a very difficult, highly specialized skill. And so they are expensive. It wouldn't surprise me if it's not just their wages, but it's their wages plus their benefits. And I know that they get huge bonuses, too. It is a very high-paying I understand that they make a lot of money, those people working on that team, but they also make a lot of money for the state of Alaska. So I'm not ready to remove a position at this point. Thank you.
Representative Stapp.
Oh, thank you, Chair Justin, Chair. I think the point's pretty valid that if they are indeed trying to hire someone in Anchorage, which is what the conceptual amendment looks to get rid of, at least that's how it's been articulated, and we would like to shut the Anchorage office down, it would make a lot of sense to not hire an employee in Anchorage and not have any place for that employee to live in Anchorage. But, you know, my experience with APFC, I'm not sure. I mean, most of their funding is, of course, taking huge management fees off the fund itself. As my colleague from Anchorage, Representative Gowan, mentioned earlier, I don't know if I would say they'd be doing an amazing job in the last few years with the rates of returns on the fund compared to other things. I am ignorant of the position, so I would like to know if we could maybe figure out if it is indeed a position that they look to hire in Anchorage or in Juneau for their actual office, through the chair.
Representative Bynum.
Yes, I had a question, comment. Thank you, Co-Chair Joseph. And, you know, I don't disagree with whether or not the position is needed if the office isn't going to be there. But I do think that what's happening is that we're getting a little bit into the weeds on the permanent fund corporation's operation. And if we really want to get into what's going on with the corporation, we really should dedicate some real time to that. I mean, this is systemic across the board, where we talk about we want to see performance for dollars spent. And whether this is here or talking about Department of Corrections or Public Safety or whatever the department is, we have an obligation to go through those budgets and have those departments tell us how they're performing, why they're spending the money, where they're spending it, what kind of return we're going to get on them. That's our obligation. So, you know, I'm a little perplexed, to be honest with you, why we put the restrictions on the corporation that we do that says that we're going to have the, all of those people right here in Juneau. I mean, it's a, we want to have a world-class permanent fund corporation that's going to perform at high levels. I mean, you're going to go seek the best people in the world to go do that. And I don't think you're going to get them to do that here, but that's not necessarily what this amendment is about, but it's an overall view about the corporation and how it performs. You know, I think that we want to have the best in the world, and we're already restricting the ability to do that. And I think we've heard other members say that, not just here today, but we've heard them say that when we've had them presenting here in front of us. So I appreciate the amendment, conceptual amendment being brought forward. I don't know that I'll necessarily support it because I think this is a bigger issue across the board that the $300,000 position is not going, we're not going to solve it with that. We're only going to solve it with a real deep dive into how the corporation is performing and what our expectations are for the services that we're receiving from them. And if we don't like the services we're receiving from them, then we change how we do business. And that would be a big, big change, but it, you know, might be something that this legislative body would want to consider if we're not happy with how they're performing for us.
Let me have a very brief at ease. I want
yes,
to want to share some information that I've received. So I've confirmed with my staff, the budget coordinator, Mr. Schroeder, that on February 27th and March 10th, there were emails sent to members of the committee from Devin Mitchell. And he was asked questions like, what is the breakdown per line item of the percentage increase of APFC's budget year over year? And he, in his response, written on the 27th of February, he writes, $392,000 is the salary benefits amount requested for a new private income portfolio manager, which is in line with a competitive range for investment management professional talent. This position will be responsible for identifying, analyzing, selecting, monitoring, and managing infrastructure, private credit, income opportunities, fund investments, co-investments, and direct investments into operating companies. The apparently there was a second communication that went out on March 10th from the that was forwarded to you, I'm told, by my office. So they certainly did respond to the question of what is this and why is this and how much is this. I'm not. I guess this will be my testimony. I'm not in a position to second-guess Mr. Mitchell as to what he describes as – I could second-guess my career choice, but I can't second-guess when he says that this is consistent with the salary that would be paid he quote, which is in line with a competitive range for investment management professional talent. So I hope that's of some help in our fact-finding. I honestly don't recall who would like to jump in the queue.
Oh,
Representative Ballard, you actually had a pending amendment to the amendment.
Yeah, I don't know if we're wrapping. I'll wait.
I don't see any comments. Go ahead and wrap up on your conceptual amendment.
Thank you. So I may have missed that, but that isn't even the point of receiving it. There is no doubt that I do believe that the individual, whoever that may be, is worth that $392,000. That's not my point. My point is we don't even know where this office is going to be. We don't know, have anything locked in, and we're trying to delegate a PCN of an offer. We don't know where that individual is going to be sitting. And so I would still move forward with the conceptual amendment. As far as going into the weeds on any of this, we are the Finance Committee. We should be in the weeds. This is where the public needs to know what's happening with the funds that they're paying for. This is all our taxpayer money. we should be able to discuss this openly without considering going into the weeds. We can have a sidebar conversation later about it, of course, but we're here today. I think the conceptual amendment needs to go through anyways. If we decide and where that new office is going to be, then they could come back to us and say, okay, here's where the office is. This is what the legislative committee or the finance committee has decided and the bodies, both bodies involved. And so based on that, I don't see any reason why they can't come to us once that is finalized and we know where this office is going to be, because based on the original amendment, it says we don't want an Anchorage office. So I would still hold with that PCN being cut. Thank you.
All right. Will the clerk call the roll on the conceptual amendment to Amendment 85?
Representative Galvin?
No.
Representative Johnson?
Yes.
Representative Hannon?
No.
Representative Stapp?
Yes.
Representative Allard?
Yes.
Representative Bynum?
Pass.
Representative Tomaszewski?
Yes.
Representative Jimmy?
No.
Representative Bynum?
Yes.
Representative Schrage?
No.
Representative Foster?
No.
Representative Josephson?
No.
5 yea, 6 nay.
By a vote of 5-6, the conceptual amendment is not adopted. Brings us back to 85 in its original form. Further discussion, Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I haven't had a chance to speak to the overlaying amendment. So I just wanted to make the point, and I think it was briefly touched on, that if we don't appropriate, we appropriate the money for the funding of the permanent fund corporation office administration, but it's from the permanent fund earnings. So it is directly tied to the people's or our receipts from the permanent fund earnings. So I think it's important, even though there's been some, I think, desire to decouple the appropriation from the legislature, I think this is just a little bit of a toe dip in the water. Maybe that's why I feel strongly about it. But, that you know, we do need to keep oversight, so I just wanted to make that point.
Thanks. Okay. All right. I'm not I don't see any other hands. I'm not going to make – sorry. Representative Tomaszewski, then Stapp.
Thank you, Co-Chair Joseph, through the chair. I would just like you to kind of articulate what exactly it is that you think this amendment is going to do for your wrap-up. Would be great. Thank you.
Okay. Representative Stapp.
Thank you, Co-Chair Joseph. I think the greater issue here is we either got to get serious about the fund and the performance and letting employees basically live wherever they need to live to get the best investment returns. I think that's kind of my thought. Or we keep forcing them to live in Alaska. To me, it's one or the other. Either, if they want to live in Anchorage, I don't have a problem with that. They need to ask us about that. But if they need to live in New York, where most of the investment bankers live, then we should probably let them live in New York and not force them to live in Alaska. So that's all I have to say. Thank you, Co-Chair.
Okay. And pursuant to Representative Tomaszewski's request, the governor was within his right to strike the appropriation last year. I mean, I don't know. My reading of Knowles versus Hickel, there are two cases. I'm not so sure you can veto a structure. You can veto an amount, which is money and an item, I think is the way it's defined in those cases. But at any rate, the governor has occasionally vetoed something and then not vetoed something. So this is a reflection of the legislative will, if it's adopted and gets to the governor's desk, that we have not commissioned an Anchorage office. That was my closing. We'll go to the vote, please. Madam Clerk.
Representative Jimmy?
Yes.
Representative Johnson?
Yes.
Representative Galvin?
Yes.
Representative Stapp?
No.
Representative Allard?
No.
Representative Tomaszewski?
No.
Representative Bynum?
Yes.
Representative Hannon?
Yes.
Representative Foster?
Yes.
Representative Schrage?
Yes.
Representative Josephson?
Yes.
8 yea, 3 nay.
By a vote of 8-3, Amendment 85 is adopted. That takes us to Amendment 86.
Mr. Chair, with your permission, I'd actually like to move Amendment 42.
Object. Stand by. Without objection, Amendment 42 is before us.
I agree.
With objection, Mr. Cook.
With objection, no objection to taking up 42. Objection to 42.
Brief at ease.
At ease. So we're back on record. There was discussion of taking an item out of order. We've decided as a committee not to do that. So we have before us Amendment 86, Representative Staff.
Mr. Kocher, should I clear the record first?
Sure.
Yeah. So I'm going to go ahead and withdraw Amendment number 42 with the anticipation that I can bring it back up at a later date with the permission of the committee.
Permission granted.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. I move Amendment 86.
Object.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Well, Amendment 86, there was changes at the federal level in a grant called SETS grants. SETS grants are utilized for a bunch of different purposes. So what this amendment looks to do is take a portion of the ADA dividend that they pay the state. ADA also currently administers SETS grants, which is used for weatherization and that type of stuff for housing, and direct portion of that ADA dividend to set aside funds for the purpose of air quality, PM2.5, and different types of weatherization issues, i.e. changing out oil-fired boilers to natural gas boilers, with the anticipation that those types of grants would be leveraged against the federal funds available through SETS program so that individuals could, if need be, look for financial incentives and helps to make those change outs from oil to gas more efficient and affordable for Alaskan families.
Representative Stapp, since the new administration does not believe in climate science, as I understand it, are you sure that the funds that you're seeking will be available?
Mr. Co-Chair, I don't know if I would say the new administration doesn't believe in climate science. I haven't heard him say that. That may be true. I don't know. I also can't speak with any authority that all the federal funds that are available and federal programs are available will be available continuing. I will say, just as a matter of the record, if the feds eliminate a lot of the money that we get, I'd remind the public that the majority of our budget is federally funded, so that would probably not work out so well for the state if they indeed did that. So,
I'm in full agreement. May I ask you, the aid of fund source, that, as I understand it, was so far designated at this point on the 1st of April to the general fund to be spent for any purpose. But this would in that respect, cost. It's sort of like UGF, isn't it?
Yeah, through the chair to Representative Josephson. Yeah, the ADA dividend basically goes into the general fund. The corporation itself just kind of gives us a number that they say they're going to give us every year. We actually technically don't have to accept the amount of dividend that they're going to give us. We can tell them they want to give us more. But because ADA is the entity that already kind of works with SETS grants when they loan out funds to people, that it was just appropriate to utilize ADA dividend as the fund source, because that organization actually understands what those grants do. So,
Representative Galvin, and then Bynum.
Thank you, Co-Chair Josephson. I actually have a few questions, and I wonder if I might just put them out there, and then in his wrap-up, perhaps Representative Stapp can answer these questions. But I think that I have a lot because it's a large increment, and it's just something that I don't know anything about. And frankly, I think we should know before we spend $6 million on anything or okay to that. Or take the $5 million plus the $1 million toward that. I think it says $6 million total. So you could explain that, first of all, the $1 million and the $5 million. Not right now, but maybe in your wrap-up, because I've got a few. So how did you come to this amount? How many homes are needed to be changed over if this is a law that is going to be implemented? Do you have a sense of when this law will become law, if you know it will become law, to where we have to be changing over? And how much does it cost for one home to change over the conversion from? It sounds like what we're looking at is converting, the entire area potentially. I know that a lot of folks there are on different sorts of energy. So it would be helpful to know how many are going to be associated with this program should it become, should this money get spent for that. And just in general, I think for us to most importantly understand the timing of when these dollars are really needed, because if they're not needed in 26, I'd really rather us hold off until the next fiscal year given our situation right now.
I that's a lot of questions. They're good questions. Let's but on wrap up. Representative Bynum.
Thank you, Co-Chair Josephson. I guess I don't have a problem with this at all. I don't see UGF being used here, and so it's federal receipts and ADA receipts for this, dividend dollars, I mean. I guess my only question, and maybe it can be covered in wrap up, is this only for the purpose of natural gas conversion, or if there's another technology that's readily available, would the homeowner have the option to utilize that technology and also be qualifying for this grant? I don't think that doesn't hinge on my support for this. I support this. I think it's good for the environment and it's good for the community and the ratepayer. And like I said, it doesn't use UGF, so I'm not going to get too concerned about the dollars. Oh, one other item, Mr. Chair.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Whether or not there would be a multi-year appropriating authority available for this as well, just in case. So, thank you.
I don't see other hands, so you've got. Sorry, Representative Jimmy.
Thank you. I just have a quick question. Would this also be for rural homeowners if gas becomes available?
Okay. You have quite a chore to cover all that.
Thank you, Co-Chair Jefferson. I guess I'll go to wrap up unless there's any other questions. So first and foremost, the answer. So this money isn't targeted for any specific region of the state to use. So the answer to Rep. Jimmy's question would be yes. It adds funds for Alaska Housing Finance to effectively do this for any applicant. There's a big difference between money being spent and what's called federal receipt authority. The SETS grants are just the ability to have the federal receipt authority in Alaska Housing Finance budget in the event that they are able to achieve the money, right? So SETS grants can be used for a bunch of different purposes. ADA already uses SETS grants, so that's kind of why I use the fund sources ADA dividend. And the concept is you just build upon Alaska Housing Finance's corporation programs they already offer to recipients for them to be able to apply. To Rep. Galvin's question about a law becoming a law, there isn't any law, I think, that I could think of that you need to do change out programs. It's just a lot of folks wouldn't have the ability. In my community in Fairbanks, nobody is compelling you to replace your oil boiler with gas. That's just something that you'll have to do anyways if you don't have a gas boiler. In other communities, too, most folks know that gas is generally cheaper and burns cleaner. And the purpose behind the money is the people who typically can't do that are low and middle to low income families. So those are the folks who generally apply for these things. There's other types of federal funding that we have, targeted air quality, shed grants and stuff like that. But, you know, I can't tell you how AHFC would structure that actual grant recipient, but I will say for the most part, the intention here is to help low and middle-low income families be able to actually do something good for their home weatherization. And I think I covered all the questions, Mr. Co-Chair.
We have a brief at ease.
Yes, brief at ease. We're back on record. There's been some discussion about the geographic application of Amendment 86. Representative Hannon.
Thank you, Co-Chair Josephson. I asked for the addies. I had not asked to speak because I thought that the questions that other members addressed my questions, but then in their closing, I didn't feel like I got the information I needed to vote on this. So this amendment is specifically saying to assist people converting from oil to gas. And my concern is in one part of the state where we have gas, there's a shortage of gas. So I'm not sure we want to encourage more people in Anchorage to go to gas right now, whether that helps our gas line initiative. Now, Fairbanks has some gas that's going to be trucked in, so converting there. But in other parts of the state that have equally high, a lot of people in this region have converted to heat pumps. And I think in many rural places, not the full northern part of the Arctic part of our state, but in south central and western Alaska, those could be a conversion that really saves on fuel and helps with cleaning, getting people off of diesel. But this amendment seems very narrowly constructed to Fairbanks. I heard the maker say it's not exclusive to Fairbanks, but it is exclusive to gas. And I'm just concerned that we're not moving the most expensive energy users to anything cheaper.
So
I have a solution.
In the law, we call this a SIR rebuttal, and I think you get one.
Yeah, Mr. Co-Chair, thank you.
Staff.
Yeah, thank you, Co-Chair Justin, to the Chair, Representative Hannon. I would say I think you could solve this issue if you'd like to make a conceptual amendment in the title to just add the words or any other type of system that looks to lower energy costs. I don't think I'd have an issue with that. And again, I don't know off the top of my head if you'd have available SETS grants money to do that. I'm sure you probably would, though, for it's a very wide-based program. But I can't, to the heat pump part, I don't know if you'd want to put that in the line of the amendment. But just saying, or other initiatives, you know, that are looking to lower us of to Alaskans, I think that's probably sufficient if you'd like to do that. And I'd support that, by the way, if you offered that.
Representative Bynum.
I hate to interject, Co-Chair Josephson, but, you know, DEC Alaska says that 80% of households report using heating oil in the Fairbanks area, 40% solely relying on that source. So with the numbers that are provided in here, 800 homes with a $7,500 credit from these federal programs and the ADA money, at the end of the day, this is good for Alaskans and good for the environment. It's a lower-cost heating source for them. So even if a dollar of this money didn't come to Southeast for heat pumps, which would be great if it could, I would support the idea. And so those are kind of the numbers behind how many people would be impacted and why. So I think it's relevant to the conversation. Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair, for the indulgence.
We're going to hear briefly from Representative Galvin, and then we're going to take about a five-minute at ease.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. I just want to make sure for clarification that it does say in here that it's that the fund source is ADA dividend, but I want to make sure that we understand that dividend dollars is our UGF, right? That goes from ADA to State of Alaska UGF. And I think this year it might be $20 million, but of that $20 million, one of them apparently is directed in this way. And I just want to make sure we're understanding that we're making a choice then to have an increment of $1 million out of our budget. Thank you.
Mr. Painter, could you join us briefly? My question for you is, although it wasn't a question from Representative Galvin, do you agree with her summary that, well, I'll just pose it this way, it's ADA receipts, but it spends, we take our receipts as general fund dollars and redirect them elsewhere. Is that right?
For the record, Alexi Painter, Legislative Finance Division. So this code is specific to their dividend that their Board of Corporations declares, and it counts as a UGF fund source. Their receipts are a separate fund code that counts in other fund sources.
Sure, sure. Apologies. All right, we're going to take an at ease till 2:45. We're back on record at 2:54 on April the 1st here in House Finance. All members are present. We've been discussing earnestly Amendment 86. And I think we're close to wrap up on this thing. And I'm going to go to wrap up. I think you may have sort of.
I think I did wrap up already, Mr. Co-Chair. So I'm ready for the vote.
So let's vote on Amendment 86. Will the clerk call the roll?
Representative Tomaszewski?
Yes.
Representative Hannon?
No.
Representative Bynum?
Yes.
Representative Jimmy?
No.
Representative Galvin?
No.
Representative Stapp?
Yes.
Representative Johnson?
Yes.
Representative Allard?
Yep. Yes.
Representative Shragi?
No.
Representative Foster?
No.
Representative Josephson?
No.
5 yea, 6 nay.
By a vote of 5-6, Amendment 86 is not adopted. That takes us to Amendment 87 by Representative Hannon.
I will not be offering an amendment this time.
87 not being offered now. Amendment 88 by Representative Jimmy.
I will not be offering an amendment at this time.
88 not offered at this time. Representative Jimmy, Amendment 89.
I will not be offering an amendment at this time.
Okay. I'm not going to offer Amendment 90 at this time. So that takes us to Amendment 91.
Mr. Chair, I move Amendment 91.
Representative Stapp, please speak to your amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. So this amendment would currently decrement a portion in the budget for the university, reducing the recruitment and retention funding, and direct $500,000 of that dollars to behavioral health grants. And you'll find the explanation on page 2 and page 3 of the amendment for each individual campus, the Anchorage campus, the Fairbanks campus, and the Southeast campus. And it's basically directed toward the UA care team, the team that works with students whose behavioral health concerns have been risen to their other well-being. As most of you folks know, the university has struggled kind of post-COVID area in order to deal with some of the challenges that the students are facing on the campus. In lieu of mental health issues, and currently the way that would work is it would basically decrement $1 million and redirect $500,000 to the behavioral health appropriations to each campus separated by the positions that they were requesting for those certain things. Although I will entertain any type of conceptual amendment.
Representative Galvin.
Thank you, Co-Chair Josephson. I appreciate the maker of this amendment, and I know that he's been working hard with the university to make sure that we can manage allowing for more behavioral health access to students and ensuring that it's happening throughout Alaska and all of the campuses. And so I would like to reduce this decrement as it was originally thought of, to have $500,000 in it. So what I want to do is the conceptual amendment would be to reduce the decrement in half by $500,000.
And all right, so that's a conceptual amendment. I'll object just to so I understand, Representative Galvin. Your amendment originally was for $3 million, with half a million going to student mental health, roughly.
That's correct.
All right, and so we were at essentially $2.5 million for the region's interest in recruitment, retention, graduation rates, and with 500 diverted to mental health. And what would your amendment leave us with if your conceptual amendment were adopted?
So if we have another amendment yet to look at, I believe, following this one.
True.
But what this one does is leaves in place 500,000 toward behavioral health in multiple campuses, and it's a bit more direct so that we're sure that these services are offered. Again, I want to thank my colleague for working with the university to make sure that it's very specific so that we know that it will drive in the goal that we had originally. And so I support this particular amendment.
And just so I'm clear, Representative Galvin, this would leave on the recruitment retention side $2 million rather than 2.5?
That is correct. That's our goal, is to kind of leave it back to its original state and not grow what we had put in originally. That would be 2.5, and you'll see that coming up. 2.5 should be part of the retention recruitment work, and 0.5 or $500,000 toward better access to student mental health services.
I guess I maybe I'm missing it out of sheer exhaustion, but the maker of the original amendment wanted to cut $1 million and then add back $500,000 as behavioral health dollars. Is that correct?
Yeah, Mr. Kocher, if I may. So basically, if the conceptual amendment is adopted, we're just streamlining what the subcommittee chair did in the subcommittee chair's budget already, just to ensure that the funds are allocated properly. So if the conceptual amendment is adopted, there really isn't a change in the overall funding. So if my underlying amendment would be adopted, it would have been a $500,000 reduction to the ad, if that makes sense.
It does. Yes. Is there any discussion? I've objected to a conceptual amendment. Representative Bynum.
Thank you, Co-Chair Justice. So I just want to clarify that I believe in House Subcommittee that this that the amount was increased to $3 million for this purpose. This conceptual amendment that we're providing here, the original amendment is to decrement that down to $2
million,
$2 million with $500,000 going to another item, which is the mental health component. So leaving $2 million in the recruitment component. The conceptual amendment in front of us will leave $2.5 million in recruitment and put $500,000 into the health. Is that an accurate depiction of where we're at?
Yes, and I believe that's the total amount that we had originally in for these two items, the recruitment retention plus behavioral health. So what we're doing in essence is he is, I believe, and please correct me if I'm wrong, is there's a little bit more articulation for how the behavioral health dollars will be allocated.
Okay. Any other discussion? All right. I'm going to remove my objection to the conceptual amendment. Now we have the amended amendment. Representative Stapp, any other comments about the amendment as amended?
Oh, just to reiterate, Mr. Co-Chair, the amendment now amended will basically just direct the funding for the behavioral health in the allocations that would best suit that as listed in the amendment to each different campus based off the requests. And that's all I have to say.
Okay. Is there any remaining objection? Seeing and hearing none, the amended amendment 91 is adopted. That takes us to Amendment 92.
Brief at ease.
Brief at ease. We're back on record at 305. The amendment that comes next is 92. It's Representative Bynum. It's Representative Bynum.
I move amendment 92.
Object.
Object. Representative Stapp, would you like to speak to your objection?
Not really. I think it's kind of self-explanatory based on my previous amendment. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Don't we want to? I apologize. Representative Bynum, would you like to speak to your amendment?
Thank you, Co-Chair Josephson. I believe that there's a structural issue with the amendment now that Amendment 1 passed, so I will make a conceptual amendment to Amendment 92, conceptual Amendment 1 to change the amount from minus $3 million to minus $2.5
million. Okay. Does anyone have any comment about this? There is an objection to the amendment. Oh. Yes, Representative Stapp.
I think you kind of have to adopt the conceptual in order to debate the amendment based on our previous action, Mr. Chair. So I'm not going to have an objection to the conceptual, just to let you know.
Okay. Let's take a brief at ease. Back on record, Amendment 92. Representative Bynum, will you begin again? You've moved the amendment. Tell us, is it a decrement of negative $3 million?
Amendment 90, Mr. Co-Chair, thank you. Amendment 92 is a decrement of $3 million. However, we just passed Amendment 91. So I made a conceptual amendment, which is to conform Amendment 92 to past 91, which would mean that this new, if adopted, the conceptual amendment adopted would mean that 92 is now a decrement of 2.5 million, not 3, which would leave intact the full funding for Amendment 91. So if the conceptual amendment is to make 92 conform with what we just did with 91, and then we can speak to the merits on whether or not we want to leave the 2.5 million in for the recruitment or not. So the conceptual amendment is only to conform with the vote we just passed on 91.
Any discussion?
On the conceptual amendment?
Yes. Okay. Any objection to the conceptual amendment? Seeing, hearing none, it's adopted. Representative Bynum.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. I'm bringing this forward because we are using general fund dollars in the amount of now $2.5 million for the purposes of recruitment and retention. When the department came in front of us and talked about this, I have a lot of concerns with us using general fund dollars to go spend money to hire recruiters and other folks to bring them to the university to then generate in tuition dollars, basically at least in the first year, the same amount of money that we're spending. I told the department when I talked with them that wouldn't we be better off just providing scholarship opportunities to Alaskans or those that want to go to our university instead of spending money to go recruit people to come to our university to spend money, which was projecting the same amount of money. Given the financial constraints that we have, if the university wants to go spend dollars for recruitment to then just recoup those dollars, they should be using university dollars to do that. And I don't have an objection with them doing it. My objection is that for them to use general fund dollars to spend money to then recoup dollars back into the university system, effectively causing a transfer from general funds to the university through a middle person called a recruiter or other advertising. So I just don't feel like that it was an appropriate correction. I don't feel like it is a good use of general fund dollars to subsidize the university in this way. If they want to prioritize their recruitment and their other items in this line item, I believe that they should be using university dollars to do that.
Any further discussion? I will say that we're given so much information, but I think that the university had a consultant, confident it did, that they've already paid, that said this is a pathway forward to bring in more tuition and see more degreed Alaskans. I think that's the essence of it.
Brief at ease, please.
Brief at ease. We're back on record at 318, House Finance, 1st of April, talking about Amendment 92, which has been amended. I think the last person who had the floor, so to speak, was Representative Bynum.
Are we wrap-up?
Yes, wrap-up.
Oh, thank you, Co-Chair Josephson, for wrap-up. I mean, ultimately, you know, if we're going to be spending these dollars, I think that I would prefer to see them going into scholarships, and then that will for sure bring kids to our university system. But I think that, you know, I'm hoping that I made my point that I want us to wisely spend these dollars when we're giving them to the university. And I'm not saying that overall recruitment isn't a wise spend of dollars. I just think that we should be using university receipts to do that if we're going to do that, as opposed to general fund dollars. I'd prefer to see them in scholarship. But that's not what this amendment is about. I'm not trying to develop a scholarship program as we sit here at the dais talking about this. So with that being said, I will withdraw Amendment 92.
Right. Amendment 92 is withdrawn. At this time, this may surprise you, but I think we're going to wrap up for the day. The co-chairs have a meeting shortly, and we will go to that meeting. There are other meetings tonight. The plan moving forward on the 2nd of April will look like this. We are going to continue to march through the remaining amendments at 9 a.m. tomorrow here in Adams 519, room 519, obviously. In the afternoon, we're going to take up Representative, it's really a finance bill, House Bill 78, Retirement Systems Defined Benefits. We're going to hear from the Alaska Municipal League as scheduled, Neil Zendriason, Executive Director, and then we will resume if necessary, and my inclination is it'll be necessary, possibly, amendments. And that's how I see Wednesday unfolding. And it may be, if necessary, that we'll stay late into the night on Wednesday. Any housekeeping questions I can answer? Representative Stapp.
Just relatively quick, Mr. Kutcher. I assume the taking up the bills because we have invited testimony here in town. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay.
That is correct. All right. I know it's heartbreaking that we're going to stop a little sooner than you might have thought. I apologize. So we're going to adjourn today at 3:21 on Tuesday the 1st. Have a good afternoon.